Miss Katie and Landon. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And it'll be soon, really, at 5th, 6th. Amen. Really? Yeah. Miss Katie's saying the sooner the better. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord for that. Well, we conclude our series this morning on issues of our time. And again, the goals for the series were as follows: to steadfastly preach the Word of God. Amen? It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what God says. Then also a sincere desire to educate the saints of God. The reason many times we don't earnestly contend for the faith and defend what we believe is we don't know why we believe it. Now listen, as I've said many times, that's okay when your kids are my age, 6, 7, 8 years old, 9 years old, even okay for 10, 12-year-old. Hey, we don't do this because mom and dad say we believe the Bible. But there comes a point where you have to make the faith your own. You have to know what you believe. Amen? And so that, of course, is a goal. And then also in stern love and warning to preach the truths, those that are at enmity with God. You know what I want to say through every one of these messages? We've ended every one of them with the same invitation hymn, Brother Hirth, and it's Calvary covers it all. It doesn't matter if you're involved in any of these sins that we talked about. Jesus loves you. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll help you along this way. We started 4 weeks ago our message entitled The Silent Holocaust. And we looked at what the Bible says about aborticide. And we looked at the insidious ancestry of abortion. We looked at the incredible amounts of abortion in America alone since 1973. 56 million babies have been murdered. We talked about the irresponsible arguments for abortions, and if you want them all, please, all our messages are online. You can listen to them. There are so many, but I think it all boils down to this: I'm going to do whatever I want to do. My body, my choice. Well, God says life begins at conception. Where there's blood, there's life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We talked about the inhumane awfulness of abortion. And you know what else we talked about? The immovable argument against abortion. This book right here. God says, thank God for life. Amen. Then in our second message, we preached a message entitled Straight Out of Hell, or what the Bible says about alcohol. And we talked about the consequences of booze, and we talked about the curses of booze, and we talked about the conviction against booze, and we talked about the cure for booze. You say, I have such trouble with drink. What's the cure for booze? I'll tell you what. You need to see it as God sees it. And you know what else? You need to separate from it as God would have you to. It wasn't hard for me, Brother Martinez, when I got saved after living a wicked lifestyle, to realize that if I was going to beat booze, I couldn't keep it in the fridge. See, that's the problem. It's so accessible for you. Listen, get rid of it. Pour it down the drain. Amen. Separate from it. We talked about Straight Out of Hell. Our message last week, probably the most difficult of the series, just the climate of our country on the subject of the sodomites, or what does God say about alternative lifestyles. And we looked at the presence of the sodomites and the pleas of the sodomites and the program of the sodomites and the product of the sodomites and the path of the sodomites and the prescription for the sodomites, which is just simply repent. What we are being told today is that's not a sin. And I will say this, it is just as much a sin as adultery is a sin. It is just as much a sin. See, God's equal opportunity when it comes to sin. It's just as much a sin as fornication is a sin. If you're married and you're enjoying the physical pleasures of marriage, thank God, that's part of being married. If you are not married and you're enjoying the physical pleasures of marriage, it is fornication. If you're married and you're enjoying the physical pleasures of marriage with somebody who is not your husband and wife, that is adultery. And it's a sin. And so is the sin of homosexuality. It's a sin. It's a sin to be repented of. Thank God Jesus Christ can deliver. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love that chapter. The laundry list of sins that God says, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. There used to be, not anymore. We finish today on these issues. When I think of America, I love America's godly heritage. I do. I love our founders. What men they were. Incredible men for such a time as this that came up in America. I think of not only the godly men of America, the godly foundation. I think of the gorgeous landscapes in America. Boy, you go to America and listen, you meet somebody that's maybe from the Rockies and they'll say, you haven't lived until you've seen this spot in the Rockies. And you meet somebody that's from the UP and they say, hey, that's God's country. Amen. And then you meet somebody like me, they'll say, man, you got to go to Cape Cod and see that. There seems that they're endless. Well, God has blessed our land. Woo. You know, I think of America, I think of her generosity. You know, when there's an incident in the world, there's a tsunami, there's a famine. You know what Americans do? They do this. They do this. And by the way, some of you do it every week to missions. I mean, listen, America, that's part of who we are. We're a generous people. I think of our great military, our military men and women that put it all on the line so we can do what we're doing today. But you know, I also think of our complicity in the murder of those 56 million babies. Come on. I think of our calling evil good and good evil in America. I still see the White House lit up like a rainbow about a month ago and I want to vomit. I see us coddling the malcontents and miscreants and discouraging hard work. I see us creating, marketing, distributing, and viewing pornography in America. The word in the Bible, several words, porneia, it's translated fornication, used 26 times. Porneo, used to commit fornication 7 times, to commit 1 time. Porne, means harlot or whore. Pornos, fornicator, whoremonger. Pornography is Greek for writing of prostitutes. And the term may have been derived from signs hung outside of Greek brothels. Porneus was a character in Greek legend who was called fornication personified. A good description since his name comes from the Greek porneia, meaning fornication. He was the son of Anagus, also known as inchastity, two of his brothers being Machus, adultery, and Asilagus, lasciviousness. Porneus tried to rape Parthenia, maidenly chastity, after whom the Parthenon, or the Temple of the Maiden, was named. But the marital maid killed him with a spear, Greek legend says. Please let me say again that I believe that pornography is the scarlet sin of all America. It's the scarlet sin of our country. It's, in my humble opinion, infiltrating, invading, and affecting not only the lives of people all around us, but in our churches. In our churches. Pornography is no respecter of persons. Pornography doesn't care if you're young or old or working or unemployed or a church member or an atheist. The reality of pornography, first of all, this morning. Trying to compile statistics on pornography is very difficult because the industry doesn't want the statistics out. The statistics I have are almost 10 years old. I went and tried to find new ones. Couldn't do it. In 2006, pornography in America made $13.3 billion in America. That is more than the revenue of the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. 89% of all pornographic web pages originate in the United States of America. 40 million adults in the United States admit to visiting pornographic sites regularly. Every second in the United States, $3,075 is spent on pornography. Every second, 28,258 internet users view pornography. Every second, 372 internet sites are done for pornography. There's a ministry called Proven Men Ministries. They undertook to conduct a nationwide survey, and this is more recent. And they had three questions, basically. First, the participants were asked to identify their frequency in viewing pornography. Second, they were asked if they thought they viewed pornography too much. And thirdly, they were asked if they felt they were addicted to pornography. Approximately two-thirds of U.S. men viewed pornography at least once a month. It's amazing to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Staggering! And listen to this. The number of Christian men viewing pornography virtually mirrored the national average. Broken down by age, four-fifths of men between 18 and 30 view pornography monthly. That is four out of five, ladies and gentlemen. Two-thirds of men between 31 and 49 monthly. 50%, one out of two of men 58 to 60 view pornography monthly. And again, the statistics were the same for Christian men versus unsaved men. One-third of men between ages 18 and 30 either think they are addicted or are unsure if they're addicted to pornography. Combined, 18% of all men think that they are addicted to pornography, which equates to 21 million men in our country that have a pornography addiction. Netflix, of course, is just a standard video rental site. They rent 101 Dalmatians. They don't rent any X-rated material. They have 46 million visitors a month to their website to rent movies. Amazon.com, a lot of you do shopping on Amazon, get different things on there. They have 110 million visitors a month to their site. Twitter, some of you are on Twitter. Twits, amen. Bunch of tweets. Tweet, twit, amen. I tried Twitter, I can never seem to get anything in 140 characters to say, amen. So rare for me. I got to go longer than that. Twitter is 160 million visitors a month. Get on there and post a status or maybe a Bible verse, something like that. So that totaled is 316 million between those three sites. Pornographic sites have 450 million visitors a month. A month. A month, ladies and gentlemen. The reality of it is it's everywhere and in every media. You can't go to the grocery store without having to tell your kids, don't look at the magazine rack. You just can't do it. And that's the light stuff now. It didn't used to be. It used to be that was stuff, whoa, now that's just the tip of the iceberg. The reality of pornography, the reasons that some people give for viewing pornography, pleasure, desires, dissatisfaction, escape, boredom, sin is what it is. Sin! A woman will say, I don't feel loved. A man will say, he doesn't feel that his needs are being met. And can I just read, ladies and gentlemen, without... The last thing I want to do in a message like this is to try to put thoughts in your mind. It's one of the great balancing acts that a preacher has to do in a message like this. But can I just read what the Scripture says in regard to those of you that are married and can enjoy the physical intimacy of marriage? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Young man, unless you're married, don't touch that girl. Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Paul says here that God has implanted desires within the husband and wife that only the husband and wife should meet. Amen. Then he says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife hath not power over her body, and the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be for a time with consent, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. Ladies and gentlemen, that is as much Bible doctrine as John 3:16 is. Married couples, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Defraud ye not one another. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Defraud ye not one another. This is not a weapon to be used, ma'am or sir, when you don't get your way. Amen. Amen. The reason why a lot of people end up in this sin is because one or the other is defrauding one another. And that is not right. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. God said it was wrong. And so there are reasons that people get. By the way, none of them are good reasons. It's still sin. Sin, sin. Amen. Those are some reasons that people give. Can I give you some responses that when you confront somebody and say, look, pornography's wrong, it's wicked, they'll say things like, I'm not hurting anybody. You're hurting your relationship with a holy God. Huh? You're involved. God's involved. Your mind and how you relate to others is involved. Hey, this is America. I have the right to be happy. How about this one? It's just a harmless adult pleasure. Dr. Marianne Layden observed, once the pornography actresses are in the industry, they have high rates of substance abuse. Typically alcohol and cocaine, depression, borderline personality disorders. The experience I find most common among the performers is that they have to be drunk, high, or disassociated to go to work. Their work environment is particularly toxic. The terrible work life of the pornography performer is often followed by an equally terrible home life. They have an increased risk of STD, including HIV, domestic violence, and have about a 25% chance of making a marriage that lasts 3 years. 56% of all divorce cases involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornography. There are over 100,000 child pornography sites. Harmless adult pleasure. My hind leg. My hind leg. Harmless adult pleasure. Listen to this. Listen to this quote in its entirety, ladies and gentlemen. And that's part of the tragedy of this whole situation. I grew up in a wonderful home with two dedicated and loving parents. As one of five brothers and sisters, we as children were the focus of our parents' lives. We regularly attended church. My parents did not drink or smoke or gamble. There was no physical abuse or fighting in the home. I'm not saying it was Leave It to Beaver, but it was a fine, solid Christian home. I got your attention so far? I hope no one will try to take the easy way out of this and accuse my family of contributing to this. I know. And I'm trying to tell you as honestly as I know how what happened. As a young boy of 12 or 13, I encountered outside the home in the local grocery and drug stores pornography. Young boys explore the sideways and the byways of their neighborhood, and people would dump their garbage, and from time to time we would come across more graphic material. This also included different types of magazines. The wedding of those two forces, as I know only too well, brings about the behavior that is too terrible to describe. Before we go any further, it's important to me that people believe what I'm saying. I'm not blaming pornography. I'm not saying it caused me to go out and do certain things. I take full responsibility for the things that I've done. That's not the question here. The issue is how this kind of literature contributed and helped mold and shape the kinds of violent behavior. In the beginning, it fuels the thought process. Then after a certain time, it is instrumental in crystallizing it, making it into something that almost of a separate entity inside. I was on the edge and the last vestiges of restraint were being tested constantly and assailed through the kind of fantasy life that was fueled by pornography. January 24th, 1989, Ted Bundy said that. He confessed to murdering 26 women between 1974 and 1978. And he was executed one day later. Doesn't sound harmless to me. It's biological. I was born that way. I'll tell you what. Some of the stuff you just can't make up. That people say to try to justify, as Brother Ray talked about, trying this willing to justify himself. Well, this is no different. I mean, and they go on. By the way, people of God try to use that. You know, God sanctified you. Amen. You know what that means? He set you apart, and it wasn't for pornography.
Amen.
He set you apart, and He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Nothing holy about that garbage. Nothing. Amen, Pastor. By the way, God will supply you with grace for every trial. Every temptation, He'll make a way of escape. How about this one? I just can't help it. Well, with God, all things are possible. Amen? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which liveth in you? You know what that means, young man? Whatever you look at, the Holy Ghost has to look at. Because He said, "I'll come in, I'll indwell you, I'll never leave you or forsake you." So whatever you're looking at, He's got to look at. And He can't close His eyes because yours are open. I just can't help it. I was born this way. On and on and on and on we go. I've got to get it out of my system. Boy, I'll tell you. You know, I feel like killing people sometimes. Brother Horse, I just need to get that out of my system. Amen. Let's dig some holes in the back. Amen. There's a whole bunch of people I'd like to kill. You say, "Oh, you're the pastor." Yeah, you should hear what people say sometimes about pastors. No. No. Grow up. Grow up. It's time to grow up. It's not all about you, sir, ma'am. It's not all about you. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Some people say, "Well, it's okay to be attracted to women." Yes, very much. For it's okay for a man to be attracted to a woman. But Job said, "I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid?" I appreciate so much Brother Jack Treiber. What a great man of God he is. Out on the West Coast, Golden State Baptist College. You know what he said to the young men? He said, "Men, young men, keep your eyes from the neck up." Amen. Amen. And modesty wouldn't hurt either, ladies.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her," that's that stare, and it's what pornography is all about, "hath committed adultery already." And so, I'm imperfect. I have a sinful nature. Yes, this is true. Amen. We all have a sinful nature. But Jesus can help you to overcome temptation. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You can overcome temptation. "There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." How about this one? "I've messed up already. I might as well go ahead and sin." Let me tell you why you shouldn't go ahead and sin. Because there will always be consequences. Consequences may be a disease, guilt, a hardened heart, damaged fellowship with God. You think God's going to speak to you in your Bible reading when you're looking at that filth?
Absolutely not.
No, He's not. Not till you get right.
Amen.
The blood of His Son cleanseth us from how much sin?
All
sin. But not if you don't think it's a sin. Not if you make an excuse. Not if you justify it. Amen. Reasons that people give. Responses. It'll lead to self-condemnation. You feel horrible if you're saved. If you don't feel horrible, I seriously question your salvation. Amen. Well, Pastor, you know the Bible says, judge not, and that you be not judged. And it also says a little further on, you know, as long as you can get the beam out of your own eye to see clearly, you can see the mote in your brother's eye too. Make a proper judgment, which is what that chapter is all about.
Right.
Making proper judgments.
Right.
You'll open up avenues for evil to have control in your life that you never intended to. It's not too late to turn to God. Even if a candle's lit and it's already halfway melted down, it's not too late to blow it out before it sets the house on fire. You know what God can do? Blow it right out. You can take that and turn it. Well, I'll just go ahead and do it and God will forgive me. Well, we serve a forgiving God, that's true. But you know, somebody tried to say that to Paul. He said, well, should we say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we're supposed to be dying to sin, not living to more sin. The reality of pornography, the reasons for using pornography, responses to pornography. Can I tell you the ruin of pornography? It leads to a filthy psyche. Pornographers specialize in making every situation pornographic so that you cannot do anything in life without thinking those thoughts. It's a filthy psyche. I tell you, I hope with everything in me, I will do my dead level best to keep my children from pornography, Brother Lawley. I'm telling you, I'll do everything I can because listen, I got saved at 23 years old. I know what it's all about. Like Billy Sunday said, you know the devil's real. I said, I sure do. I've done business with him. I did a lot of business with him. I know what this did to my mind and my thoughts for so long. Filthy psyche. You know what else it does? It not only a filthy psyche, but futures are pilfered. They're stolen. This really hits home. How many in this room have daughters? Raise your hand. Look around. Just look around, church. Have daughters. You know, every woman in one of these pornographic videos was somebody's little girl. Somebody's little girl. I'm going to tell you, Brother Smothers, they never, never, never wanted her to do that. You can't tell me somebody's sitting here, oh, I hope one day she'll be a pornographic performer.
Yeah.
No way. Maybe she'll be a mama. Maybe she'll be a missionary. Maybe she'll be whatever. But that's not on the list. That's not on the list. And sir, that's somebody's little girl you're looking at. Well, that'll bring it home, won't it? That's somebody's little girl. Some broken-hearted mama, broken-hearted daddy, halfway across the United States, wondering where she is. Wondering why she never writes. I'll tell you why she never writes. She's drunk or high all the time to try to dull the pain. That's somebody's little girl. And that's another thing that tells me it's not a harmless crime. Maybe one day she thought about a wedding day. She thought about what would happen in her life, how she'd marry her husband and have children in a house and picket fence, and now she's stuck in that. She had a bright future. Now she's got to take pills and mix it with booze just to get through the day. Future's pilfered, filthy psyche, full prisons. Number one cause of prison is booze. And right behind it is pornography. I've talked to prisoners. Go in and play softball, talk to guys. They'd say, pornography, 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 pornography. It unleashes that awful part of us that is supposed to stay dormant. Amen. You know what else? There's not only a filthy psyche and futures pilfered and full prisons, but there's a what I call not a forward progression, but a froward progression. And that is this. Sin left unchecked always descends into deeper sin. And pornography is no exception. It may start with just a glance of this or that, and the next thing you know, you're delving into things that no one, that the Bible says it's a shame even to speak of those things. It's the ruin of pornography. Can I give you the remedies for pornography? They're all ing, which is action. Amen. Action verbs. First of all, confessing. That doesn't mean that you have to come up here and take a microphone and say, I'm guilty of pornography. First of all, confessing in the fact that if you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. First and foremost. But if you are stuck in this wicked, rotten, muddy, filthy, dirty sin, you know what you need to say to God? You're right! It's wrong! Forgive me! He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. I heard old brother Larry Brown from Iowa. He's got a real tiny voice. He talked like this, amen? He says, you know what? That says you try to cover your sins, God's going to uncover it. But if you confess it, He'll cover it. And that's the truth. That's the plain truth. May today be a new day for some in this room. May today be a new day where you say, God, it's wrong, it's wicked, it's filthy, it's debasing, and it's not going to be in my eyes anymore. That's first, confessing. Confessing to God. Either confessing that you need Christ and confessing your guilt. Confessing your weakness. God, I need your help. Not only confessing, but loving. Brother Martinez hit that in his Sunday school. What's the first and great commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I will venture to say, if you're looking at pornography, you do not love God with all your heart, soul, and mind when you're looking at pornography. Married, sir, love your spouse more than yourself. Love your children. I had a man one time, had a $400 a day, Brother Leonard, cocaine habit. $400 a day. He asked me, he said, Preacher, I wanna kick it with everything in me. He said, what can I do? And I said, at that time he had a little girl. She was 1 year old. I said, you got a picture of your little girl? He said, yeah. I said, let me see it. Beautiful, beautiful little girl. Had the little bows in her hair and one tooth sticking out. You know how that 1 year old picture is, you know. I said, the next time you get cocaine, you have to cut a line. You can't just stuff it up your nose. You have to grind it up. He said, you take that picture of your little girl and you cut the line with her picture. And you decide which one you love more. Yeah. Yeah, good. Sir, you decide. Listen, your children, they don't want you to wreck your life and leave their mother over pornography. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God what's under the blood is under the blood. Amen. It's gone. Praise God. Forgiven, forgotten. But we need to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We need confessing, loving, yielding. The Bible says in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members, your bodies, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You're in charge, I'm not in charge. That means I get to watch what you want me to watch, not what I want to watch. Is He in charge? Is He in charge of your life? I know He's Lord of all, but is He Lord of you? Here's something very important. The Bible says, talking about yielding, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves. You can't resist the devil if you don't submit to God. That's what a lot of people try to do, Brother Brown, and just trying to resist the devil. But you can't do it unless you submit to God first. Get His power, get His strength. Something else that needs to happen is what we call, I call it hedging. Hedging. Now, that's not, some of you know that term, like, means kind of, oh, it means putting up fences. The Bible says that he that diggeth a pit shall fall therein, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite. You got to put up some walls in your life. I'll never forget a classmate of Brother Martinez and I talked about how he had a serious problem with this issue. And he told me, he said, you know, we had a computer at our house, but my wife knows the password to the computer.
Right.
He said, so when I'm there and I want to get on the site and look at my email or whatever it is, my wife has to be right next to me. Hey, that's a pretty good hedge right there.
Amen.
That's a pretty good hedge. There's a program called Covenant Eyes, a wonderful program. What it does, let's say Brother Leonard and I were friends on there, it would send me a note of Brother Leonard's internet traffic. And it'd send Brother Leonard a note of my internet traffic. Covenant Eyes. You know what it is? Accountability.
Right.
That's why most people fall. They don't have any hedges up. They don't have any walls up. They think they can just do that and get by with it. Hey, you need some walls up in your life. You need some walls up in your life. Amen, young men. You need to put up some walls. You need to have somebody that has access to your phone and your browser. Amen. You know what else we need? Not only yielding and hedging and loving and confessing, we need some mortifying. What's mortifying? We're supposed to die to self once we get saved. The Bible says that if you live after the flesh, Romans 8:13, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Listen, that God is not pleased with that. Mortify that. Say, God, listen, I need to die more to self. Mortifying. Paul said, I keep under my body, 1 Corinthians 9:27, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. Hey, Brother Ray, you know what? I don't want to be somebody's sermon illustration
right.
in 10 years.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Boy, he could preach. Man, he preached the paint off the walls. And then he got hooked up in pornography. He left his wife and his children and he's somewhere. I don't want to be somebody's sermon illustration. I don't want to be a castaway.
Right.
You know what that is? Disapproved of. Gone. All used to be. I don't want to be a used to be. I don't want you to be a used to be.
Amen.
I don't want you to be a used to be church member. I don't want you to used to be married. Because of pornography. We need some more mortifying, dying to self. One of the great characteristics of the end of the age is selfishness. Resisting. Resisting. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, Peter said, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Hey, you know what, young men? You need to tell your body, no. No. One of the great benefits of fasting is, you know what, we tell our body, no. The body says, you fast for about 8 hours, and your stomach says, you know what it's doing? It's cursing at you right now. It's cursing at you. That's what it's saying. It's just saying, give me food. But you know what you're telling your body? No. No. This prayer request is more important than food. This thing that I'm praying about is more important than food. I have a dear friend who runs a summer camp. Christian summer camp. Brother Harmon, he eats on Mondays. That's it. That's it. It's the only day he eats. He wasn't doing it to brag. He said, what God is doing here is so important that it requires my full attention. God doesn't have your full attention when you're looking at pornography. Resisting. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How about this? Here's such an easy one. Reading. Reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. The Bible talks about renewing our minds right here. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Two dogs in a fight. One starved, one well fed, one with rippling muscles, one without even the strength to stand up. They put him in a ring. Which one wins the fight? The one that's been fed. You feed your flesh, it's going to defeat you every time. You feed the spirit, and you'll start knocking the flesh around. You'll start putting them down for the count. Oh, it won't be. Listen, we're all human. We're all human. Amen. Could certainly slip and move and do things that we're not proud of. But listen to me. You start feeding the Spirit, and you'll start winning more victories. Reading the Word of God, thinking right thoughts. Oh my! If there was ever a verse against pornography, here it is. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Not talking about your pumper. Talking about who you are. Thinking. Attending. No, this is a place that will help you to stay on track. I appreciated the message Brother Hagelin preached when he was here, called The Place Where It All Makes Sense. The house of God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Be here. You'll be encouraged to holiness. You'll be encouraged to walk with God. You'll be encouraged that you're not in this battle alone. Attending. Here's a good one. Rising. See, what do you mean? It's a remedy for pornography, rising. Proverbs 24:16 says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. See, can God deliver people from pornography? Yes, He can. Delivered David. Said David was a man after his own heart. David had a problem. Judah, terrible problem. We could go on and on with Bible characters. God can deliver you. 'Tis the grandest theme on the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. The scarlet sin of America is pornography. From this day forward, let's say, no. No. Not here. Hey, those averages, they're all over the place. May they never be in this church. Father, help us. Lord, it's all over, it's all around us, it's everywhere. May it not be in our hearts. Lord, I pray that if there are those